welcome back to the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams is my co-host. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You know, Sandy, I was my mind was wondering, and as it's wanting to do sometimes. And the John Birch Society popped in my head. Don't ask me why the John Birch Society popped in
my
head.
Well, we are here in Waukesha, and the John Birch Society had its birthplace, I believe, with some Waukesha families.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. I forgot. My guest is on the line. None other than the governor.
Ah.
Who will be joining us post-haste. I'm wondering, I'm looking, I'm saying, who is this calling? Right? And it is Governor Evers. Hey, good morning to you, Governor Evers. How you doing, my friend?
Been a long time. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm always doing better when the governor takes the time out of his busy schedule to give us a call.
Well, thanks so much, Earl. I appreciate coming on and chatting with you.
It's always great to have you on. You got a couple things you want to talk about.
Well, certainly, just one in a couple things in particular. One is the spending the last week going around the state talking to people about their private wells. Most people wouldn't believe this, and I had a hard time believing it too, but there's 800,000 private wells in the state of Wisconsin, and many of them are struggling with nitrates in the water, and you know, we want to make sure people are drinking clean water in the state of Wisconsin. And so what we put together is a $10 million program that helps people with the real expense there. It's about $16,000 to fix a well these days. And the bottom line is we believe it's important for people to have clean drinking water. And if their water is testing badly, which happens quite a bit, we figure that this $10 million will help clean up well over 1,000 wells in the state of Wisconsin. And it's not just homes. It's also in rural areas. We have churches and we have bars and restaurants and daycare centers that are on private wells. So this impacts all sorts of people across the state. So we've been working on that this week. That's one of the one of our initiatives. We believe that clean water is really important for people, and that kind of flows into the issue of lead laterals in Wisconsin. And one of the things that we're really excited about is that we're going to be receiving dedicated funds from President Biden's infrastructure law for lead service.
Really?
Yeah, lead service. Yeah, really. And, you know, I in my budgets, over the last couple of years, proposed $40 million in my most recent proposal, and about the same the first time around. Of course, the Republicans knocked it right out of the budget, so that never happened. But we anticipate getting about $48 million to the state of Wisconsin. That's going to really speed up our lead service line replacement for our project.
You know, that's great. Let's talk about the pushback from a few Republicans on your plans to use the opioid money to address the opioid problems in the state.
Yeah, go figure, right? Yeah, the work of the Attorney General is really significant, and we put together a plan that we had to get approved by the Joint Finance Committee. It's a process that, frankly, is shrouded in lots of malarkey, frankly. But at the end of the day, it's really important. We Wisconsinites across the state have obviously felt firsthand the effects of the opioid epidemic, and we've put the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee, objected to the state plan, and didn't say why. They just said No. And so we have this money sitting around that could go directly to people and, you know, municipalities, health departments, whoever does the work, to getting people in treatment and support and giving them the services they need. But apparently there is no hurry on the part of the Republicans and Joint Finance Committee because they're holding up millions of dollars that would be going out the door to save lives.
You know, Governor Evers, I remember reading, I think, the opioid deaths from opioid is almost kind of like the number one killer.
Right.
And you just don't understand why anybody would be opposed to that, because it impacts and affects everybody across the state. There's not one area that these deaths and the opioid problem doesn't impact. So you wouldn't expect people across this state in the legislature, wherever they're from, the opioid crisis is there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it defies logic. I don't know if it's they think that they'll be giving the administration they're preventing us to have a win. The win is for the people of Wisconsin. That's the problem. And even if they would said, well, this is what we object to, and this is our suggestions, it's just a no. And we'll come back to you later. And this is they call it an epidemic for a reason, because it is. Lots of people are hurting. This money should be going out the door. Should have been going out the door yesterday, but instead we wait. And the secrecy of the Joint Finance Committee around this issue and other issues is just atrocious, and just another example of. People wanting power, I guess.
You know, Governor Evers, I know you got to run, but our doors are always open, and certainly we've got to get you reelected. And so, again, at any time, you can call, and the listening audience is waiting to hear from you.
Earl, we'll take advantage of that as always, and thanks for your good work, too. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Governor Evers. Really appreciate that. You know, Sandy, I'm sitting here, and I'm looking, and I'm saying, I wonder who this is calling, right? I wonder who this is calling. And it turns out that it's the governor. Right.
I didn't believe him when he said that it was him. I was like, the governor, Governor Tony Evers.
Yeah. That's so. What was that, Sandy?
We got fans.
Someone took our picture.
We have fans.
Yeah. Hey, the guy pulled up in a truck.
Well, you know, for all we know, that's Dave or
no,
CJ or
no. That's who he is. But anyway. Oh. Sandy, let's talk about the John Birch Society. Where is it at? There it is. And I had this, it popped in my mind about, and I remember reading about the John Birch Society long ago. And for whatever reason, the correlation between some of and how the Republican Party changed from the Republican Party that we used to know, 40 years ago. You know, there's been some changes in it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, drastic changes. And so for those who don't know, about the John Birch Society, Sandy, let's talk a little bit about what that is, what that was. Well, it's still around.
Well, I think it's still around. The John Birch Society, my recollection, this is a cold brain just recalling, was that it was in the mid to late 50s. And it was founded by some business folks who had businesses actually out here in Waukesha. And it was aimed at, because the feeling in the 50s was that the Republican Party was very close to the Democratic Party. They were both centrist parties. And in fact, when Dwight Eisenhower was considering running for president, when he stepped out of the military in the late 40s after World War II, and it was clear that he was going to go into politics, he was toying with either running for president as a Democrat or as a Republican, and finally decided to run as a Republican. But that was a demonstration of how close the parties sort of were. So the John Birch Society was a sort of shadowy group that decided they would get together and they would try to exert influence on the Republican Party to move it in a much more conservative direction, which ultimately was the Barry Goldwater
Right.
emergence as a leader of the and the nominee in 1964. So, you know, the move from Dwight Eisenhower to Barry Goldwater was quite a remarkable shift to the right. Some of that was probably attributable to the operation of the John Birch Society. But the John Birch Society was sort of treated as like a bit of a kooky and secret, sort of secretive organization. And, you know, other than being able to identify some of the leaders of it who were related to a couple of businesses out here in Waukesha, there wasn't a lot that people talked about other than people would mention the John Birch Society as sort of the initiator of conservatism. And to some extent, the Bradley Foundation might well be an offspring of the John Birch Society.
And at the root of it was the Constitution. And so making sure that Constitution was, you know, stood for, well, was interpreted in a manner commensurate with what we're talking about now in the Republican Party. You know, there was a workshop that they conducted. The Constitution is the solution. And so that was a lot of what was at the root of it. And then, Sandy, it took more hold and more shape in Texas. Texas was the place where, even though it was founded here in Waukesha, Texas, there was some... What is it about Texas? Texas was the place where they began to take hold. People know of the John Birch Society, that the far-right group founded in the thick of the Cold War to fight communists and preach small government. It's purely as a historical relic of a bygone era of sock hops and poodle skirts, but the John Birch Society lives. And though it's not the same robust organization it was in the 1960s heyday, when by some accounts, it had as many as 100,000 dues-paying members around the country and 60 full-time staff. After decades of declining membership and influence, the Birchers insist they are making a comeback, and they point to Texas as the epic center of their restoration. There definitely is an increase in our activities, particularly in Texas, because Americans are seeking answers, but they can't quite put their fingers on what some of the real problems are, says Bill Hahn, the John Birch Society's vice president of communications. Carter, the head of the Central Texas chapter, says that statewide the group's membership has doubled. Now, in the quest, they have common cause with powerful allies in Texas, including Senator Ted Cruz, Representative Louis Gohmert, and a smattering of local officials recently at the state level. Legislators have authored Birch's bills that have made it further through the lawmaking process than many thought possible in Texas, even just a few years ago, though these are less the cause of the German Birch Society's influence than as indication of the rise of its particular strand of politics. These include bills that would forbid any government entity from participating in Agenda 21. I want to talk a little bit more about it when we come back from break, Sandy, because when you include Ted Cruz and Louis Gohmert, that's today. And so they're starting to make a change. Got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. So...